Constructive Wallowing by Tina Gilbertson. I like the phrase constructive wallowing because the pieces seem to contradict each other. Constructive is a good thing, but wallowing is bad, right? If this odd combination of words caught your attention, maybe it's because you think wallowing in feelings, especially rotten ones, is just not a great use of your time. I can understand that. Most people would rather spend their downtime alphabetizing their cleaning supplies than stewing about office politics or crying over things they can't control. But if you're not taking the time to pay attention to all your emotions, including the so-called negative ones, you could be seriously missing out. I mean, on life. You could be passing up the good stuff, happiness, growth, and emotional freedom. You could be saying no thanks to more motivation, interest, and energy to pursue your dreams. Emotions are energy. All of them, not just the good ones. Would you willingly shut off your own power source? As a mental health counselor working with individual adults, I often hear people who are unhappy about something say, "I don't want to wallow." They usually say the word as if they're talking about licking the bottom of a wading pool in a doggy daycare facility. And while I understand perfectly that wallowing in yucky feelings is unpleasant, I still like to answer, why not? What's so bad about wallowing? I can be like that, just to warn you. That conversation is often the beginning of a paradigm shift for the person in the client's chair. It changes their sense of the way things are and opens up new possibilities for who they can become. It's a shift I've been through myself, and for me, it opened doors I didn't even know were there. Once I was able to understand that all my emotions were acceptable, not just the happy ones, I was able to embrace all that I am as a person. This led to a much-desired career change for me. All my life, I'd known there was something special I wanted to do, if only I could figure out what it was. Learning how to deal with my feelings in a self-compassionate way helped me get in touch with my whole self, which included my purpose. It was only then that I could see the path under my feet. I became a therapist to support others in developing compassion for themselves and all their feelings, so they could become who they're meant to be. I wanted to teach people how to wallow constructively, so they could not only reach for their potential, but heal from past hurts and feel better about themselves right this minute. I thought of the book's title one day after talking with a client. Let's call him Vance, a financial analyst who was going through a painful breakup. I'd had scores of conversations with people in various challenging circumstances, and I was hearing for the umpteenth time from Vance the familiar, "I don't want to wallow," speech. He assured me that he didn't have the time or the desire to wallow in his feelings about losing his girlfriend. He just needed some tools for coping better, because, as it happened, he was starting a demanding new job at the very same time. When I asked him about it, Vance couldn't point to any ways in which he was coping badly. He was getting dressed every day, taking care of necessary tasks, even going out with friends. Suicide never entered his mind. Nevertheless, understandably, he was suffering. He was distracted by insistent feelings of sadness and anger and grief. I remember thinking, why does Vance think he's not coping well just because he's having feelings? The timing of the split certainly wasn't ideal. Vance could have used some downtime to regroup before diving into a new job. No one wants to be sad, angry, or preoccupied while trying to learn the ropes in an unfamiliar environment. But circumstances being what they were, he just ended up with too much on his plate at once. Any human being in his position would have found it impossible to feel serene and in control the way Vance wanted to.